Well, as many of you know, a constitutional referendum is being conducted in Italy today, and voters are being asked whether they approve a constitutional law that amends the Italian Constitution to reform the powers of the Parliament of Italy and the division of powers between the state, the regions, and the administrative entities. Now, this bill was put forward by Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi and his center-left Democratic Party. It was introduced by the government in the Senate in April of 2014, and then the process began of amending the referendum. A number of amendments were made, and in accordance with Article 138 of the Italian Constitution, a referendum was approved. And this is because the constitutional law had not been approved by a qualified majority of two-thirds in each House of Parliament, and as a result, they had to have a referendum to resolve the issue. Now, the amendment will not become law unless it receives the support of a majority of votes cast in the referendum. It's only the third time in the history of the Italian Republic that they have had a constitutional referendum. Here's what's happening. If the Italian voters approve the law, it would achieve extensive constitutional reform in Italy. And as a result, it could have an impact on whether or not Italy remains in the European Union. Here is the referendum that's being voted on. Do you approve the text of the constitutional law concerning provisions for overcoming equal bicameralism, reducing the number of members of parliament, limiting the operating costs of the institutions, and the suppression of the CNEL and the revision of Title V, Part 2 of the Constitution approved by Parliament and published in April of 2016. The thing to remember about this vote, this referendum, is what does it mean for the future of the Italian Republic? And the answer to that question is, we don't know, but we do know that if the no vote wins, and the no vote is favored in the polls for what polls are worth these days, if the no vote wins, we do know that there is a possibility that Italy could leave the European Union. You have to be careful when you talk about countries leaving the European Union, because look at Britain. Now, last year, Britain voted in the famed Brexit vote, 52-48, to leave the European Union. However, we knew at that time that nothing would happen until the powers that be filed Article 50 to start the two-year negotiating process of leaving the European Union. Well, here we are. It is December now, many, many months since the Brexit votes were counted. And Article 50 is nowhere to be found. It has not been executed by the powers that be. And now we have a new development in Britain, which involves Parliament, because the court in London has ruled, well, Great Britain, I should say, has ruled that Parliament has a say. Parliament has a say in whether or not Brexit happens. Well, Parliament hasn't voted yet. We don't know what Parliament's going to say, but the courts have ruled that you can't just have a referendum and leave the European Union without the consultation of Parliament. So now we have Parliament entering. Still, no Article 50, of course. Now, I know that David Cameron's successor, Theresa May, has said over and over again that Brexit is going to happen. But does she have the power to make it happen in the absence of parliamentary approval? I don't think so. Does she have the power to determine the parliamentary vote? Maybe, maybe not. After all, she's the head of the conservative movement in the UK. So we'll see what happens. But basically what's happening in Italy today is a referendum on the Constitution. And it's possible that a no vote, which is favored, but who knows with these polls anymore, right? It's possible that a no vote could lead to Italy leaving the European Union and could have implications for the EU as a whole. However, we don't know that it would lead to Italy leaving the European Union. We don't know that. We shall see. We shall see, and we'll follow the vote, and we won't be surprised if the no vote wins. But what will flow from that no vote remains to be seen. Andre is with us in El Dorado Hills. Hello, Andre.
Big happy Sunday.
Thank you.
Question, or just a comment on the unemployment rate. I've always found the numbers to be very deceiving. Because they do not count the labor force participation rate, which is currently over 95 million, which is about 30% of the U.S. population, and it keeps rising.
Okay, Andre, just so we have a reality check, so I can tell our listeners that what you said is not true. The participation rate of 62.7 is in the data of the Labor Department report, and I've already stated it to our Money Talk listeners today. The participation rate is 62.7, as reported by the Labor Department on Friday. So your statement that it's not reported is false.
I disagree with you, Bob. I'm looking at a website right now from the Department of Labor that in June it swelled by 664,000 to a record 94.7 million Americans, according to Labor Department data, Bob. I think your data is accurate.
The data is 62.7 is the participation rate. That's the figure that's been published. That's the figure I reported. 62.7.
Okay, well let's divert and really quickly to the jobs that are actually being created, which are mostly low-income, part-time jobs, waiters, seasonal-type work that are not long-term growth, not sustainable for anybody that wants to buy a house or raise a family. We need to parlay and talk more about what these numbers actually are. It's not as rosy as it sounds.
What's your point, Andre?
My point is, I think it's very deceptive to say that the unemployment rate is 5%. I think there's many more factors that need to be exposed in these.
Well, once again, misstatement of fact. The unemployment rate has just been reported at 4.6%, not 5%.
I was rounding it up. I'm sorry, but I'm just.
Well, you can't round. You can't round. You can't round out very, very important numbers like that. And as far as the jobs that are being created, we live in a service economy. About 80% of our economy now is a service economy, and that's the kind of an economy it is. And if you can convince CEOs to bring back jobs that they have now on the books at 20 to 30 cents on the hour with no benefits in foreign countries, if you can convince Apple to bring back the manufacture of iPhones to the USA and pay five times or whatever it would be plus benefits to the workers, good luck.
Just asking you to please be more transparent with your listeners. That's all, Bob. Thank you.
Well, nobody is more transparent with the listeners than I am, Andre. And if you're going to come on and misstate facts, we're going to call you on it. That's all there is to it.